Shaving Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is James Jordan, and this is a brand new, only slightly delayed episode of Gaming Uncensored. Brought to you by Story Time at the Library.
That's right.
And of course, Tommy said, over there, what's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just getting back from Story Time, ready to do a show. A little late.
You know what?
But we're here.
I love the idea of Story Time.
It's pretty great. So, we made it, which is good. Only about 20 minutes behind schedule. But here we are. So, we got a show for you with Lord of the Rings game. That I don't know if it's going to be any good, but it'll be fun to talk about. Humble Bundle games, which are good and kind of mind-blowing what they're giving out this month on their subscription bundle. And my favorite, we know who's going to play Geralt in the Witcher TV show for Netflix. So, we'll talk about all that stuff on the show today.
Woo-hoo!
I'm pretty pumped about that one, actually. I'm excited about that show. I hope it doesn't suck. I really want it to
naked
be good.
Naked people, and more naked people!
That's definitely going to be a part of it. I've watched enough Westworld recently that, like, the nakedness thing is like, okay, whatever at this point. Like, everybody's naked in that show.
We've told people this, that we grew up, both of us, sort of in a very conservative background.
Yes.
And that is, at 40 years old, that is like still a thing that is sort of kind of like uncomfortable. And I'm gonna get to where it doesn't bother me, I hope, at some point. Yeah. But yeah, that's the way we grew up.
My actual childhood was not nearly as sheltered as like my wife's childhood was.
Right.
I grew up like watching horror movies when I was like 3 and stuff. Like, my childhood wasn't anything. I saw plenty of naked people when I was young. But there's just something weird about seeing naked people like on TV. Like, it's just like, it's just awkward to me always, you know? Regardless of the situation, like, I could be watching a show by myself and there's a naked person, I'm like, you know. But then especially like watching with my wife or God forbid my in-laws or something, it is like, just want to go and like hide under something.
That's funny that we're talking about this, because I actually played some games this week, and last night I finished Episode 1 of Life is Strange, Before the Storm, and a couple of things on that, just to tie into what we're talking about here.
You played games, I'm all about it.
Man, it is, that Life is Strange, that is some deep, depressing, uncomfortable, like, stuff going on there, like, I don't know if you have Before the Storm, I assume.
I don't think I do. I haven't picked it up yet. I really need to.
You got to like go to Steam right now and spend some Patreon money, because I did that before the show, and I just found the coolest feature on Steam that you can save 2 PayPal accounts.
Oh, nice.
So I have my PayPal account, and I have the show PayPal account.
Very good.
And it's like one click when I decide who's going to pay for the games.
Fair enough.
So I bought a game that we talked about last week, thanks to our buddy that's in our segment. And I really, really am looking forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I did that, but back to my original point. I picked up Life is Strange, been playing through slowly episode one. And the reason you need to pick it up is that it's all about the Chloe, Rachel Amber story that they talk about all the way through the original Life is Strange.
Right.
And man, it is like there's some really, really strong sexual tension through the entire first episode. And it's these two girls, and like I'm sitting there near the end of it, and I'm like, it's the first episode, right? And like I'm 3 hours in, because those are 3 to 4 hour deals.
Sure.
When you sit down to play Life is Strange. And that last hour, I'm like, okay, they're going to just go at it any second now. Like, it's just gonna get nuts any second now. And I don't know whether I'm going to like it or whether I'm going to feel awkward, but I can't stop watching. And it's like, it's more Before the Storm is less interactive than Life is Strange. It's more of like a movie kind of a thing. There's less to do. But because this story was so woven into the first game, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, I'm enthralled. Like, I can't look away. So back to the naked people. If stuff starts happening, like, you know, I just gotta roll with it.
Hey,
because
man.
I think it's gonna happen before the game's over, but man, it is deep and depressing and awkward at the same time. Like, it's the, and I think I mentioned it with the first game, how it's kind of like an after-school special.
Yes.
Yeah, this is really an after-school special. Like, with two women that are, like, trying to find themselves. And it's just, I like it so much, but it really is awkward.
Yeah. That's fair. It shocks me that it's less interactive than Life is Strange, because Life is Strange already is a lot of just sitting there. And I enjoyed it. Like, that's not a knock
right, either,
but it's like a lot of just sitting there or kind of pretending like you're doing something, you know, like it kind of teases you with like, oh, look, it's interactive, kind of, you know, like you're like, oh, I got to open a journal or whatever. And so, yeah, I still need to play it. I really enjoyed Life is Strange. I'm really looking forward to Life is Strange 2. And of course, Before the Storm fits right there. And then the Awesome Adventures of Captain Spirit, which is sitting on my Steam library. And yeah, time is an issue. You know, it's rough.
It is. It really is. I bought Star Traders, and I'm like, when am I going to have time to play this?
Yes. You told me I needed to as well, and I will at some point. Again, thanks to Jacob for that segment last week and getting us into that idea. I don't know when and how or what. On my gaming front, I did play God of War this week for about half an hour, and I felt really successful in that. Like, I literally, you'll see it when you go to the videos. Like, I sat down, it was maybe Saturday or Sunday or at some point. I was like, I'm going to get to play this game. And I sat down, and I was ready to go, and I fired it up, and I, like, where I had stopped was, like, right in the middle of a fight. And so I'm like, yeah, action, perfect. Like, I'm jumping in. And I kid you, I'm not 2 minutes into the thing, and little girl wakes up. I'm like, seriously, I had to shut it off. And so there's like a 2 minute snippet of me fighting some dudes, not even getting through the fight, of me trying to play God of War. I did get back to it and got maybe more than half an hour, somewhere half an hour to an hour. Not a ton of time, but enough to remind me how fantastic that game is and make me sad that I haven't played it more.
I'm telling you, I don't know when. We don't have a date yet, but I'm coming. I'm coming, and there will be some gaming in between the cube breaks.
Yes,
because it's mostly about the cube breaks, and I'm going to story time because last time I was there, story time occurred during an E3 press conference.
Yeah.
And
I missed it too. You and I watched the press conference while little girl and mom went to story time. So,
which we should have gone to story time. I don't know why we didn't go to story time, but when I'm there in the next month or so, we be going to story time because I gotta see that.
Yeah, it's a good time. They had taken like a month off, and so this was the first one back, and so. We had to like catch up with everybody that we hadn't seen in a while, and it's—I mean, ultimately, it's just an excuse for parents to be social more than anything else. Like the kids are like whatever, but for parents, it's like, oh, other people. Thank God,
adults.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was fun just getting to see other people, adults and children. So. It was a good time. I have to brag on little girl for just a second because she's 6 and a half now, and so we're going through all the different little physical milestones of, oh, she can do this new thing and that new thing, and so we've been working really
6 and a half months. 6 and a half months. She's not 6 and a half.
It feels like 6 and a half years. Right. 6 and a half months. And so we've been working on the all the. You know, like trying to roll over, which she's a pro at. Rolling over is not a problem. So we've been working on sitting up. That's been the big one. And she can sit up for a little bit, and then she kind of falls over, and it's funny or whatever. But today, like
I had... our Uncle Dave, baby!
Yeah, very similar. Today I had like a pep talk with her. I'm like, hey, we're going to story time tonight. You guys show off for these other babies. And so we worked on sitting up a little bit today, and it was kind of the normal thing. She'll sit up for a few seconds, and then she'll kind of plop over. We got to story time. I sat her down on the ground as she just sat there. She was like a statue, man. She was like, I got this, Dad. And she just, for like 5 minutes, just sat there without any help. She's never done that before. We're like, yeah, little girl, like show off for these people. It was fantastic.
And the thing is, I know you well enough to know that you had the Tiger Woods fist pump going on. Like, you're trying to get somewhere where somebody can't see you because you're, like, trying to, like, hold it in.
Yeah.
And I would be the same way because I'm a guy that's almost 40 and I can't sit up. So I'm all about that. Like, that's the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, she's going to outpace you soon, man.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Me too. But her and her stroller, like she kind of, we got a like a bigger stroller for her, so she still has like her starter stroller thing. But she's getting close to growing out of it, so she has a little bit bigger one that we've been going on walks in, and she kind of does the same tilt thing that you do. So just after a while, she's just leaned over to one side. I'm like, yeah, that's a lot like Jamie. Good job, little girl.
Yeah, that's I got this thing, and I don't know that we ever really showed it off in the videos that we do, but I have this thing that goes across my chest, and James, you know, jokingly, and now I'm really annoyed at it, gave it the nickname of the bra.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, I got this thing that goes across my chest that looks like a bra, and it's black, and you can't miss it. It's like, but it holds me in there and keeps me straight. And I'm like, 40 years old, and I got to wear this freaking thing. like, I can, in this year, I can probably, I don't have the leaning issues that I had. Because it's contoured and it's not that big a deal. But the reason that I wear this is to try and keep me straighter for longer. And I'm like, I might as well just be in preschool. Like, I might as well just be trying to figure this stuff out. I'm 40 years old. This is a big thing. I can't even... My goal in life... It's just to get to where I can sit. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's nuts. And how bizarre is it that I have all the issues that she has and I like alcohol?
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong there.
That helps.
Yeah.
Good times. So, all that said, should we get to some news?
Well, I suppose I was going to talk about the old man music tour, but we can do that.
Oh, you
later
can do that too. We don't honestly have that much news. So let's do some old man music because that's been entertaining.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed it because I thoroughly enjoyed it. We talked about last week. I've got these new speakers, and man, they're good. And I don't know what it is about these things, but I'm going back through albums that I grew up with, stuff that I bought, or stuff that was in my house. And this week, I went to Spotify, and I was like, I'm going to listen to the first music that I remember growing up as a kid. Because when I was growing up as a kid, like, records were still a thing. Like, that was how you got music.
Sure.
And in my house, there was lots of George Strait and Dan Seals. And the first music that I ever heard of that wasn't that was a cassette tape of Huey Lewis and the News Sports.
Yes.
That was brought out in 83. I had to look at the date. I was 4, right? And the first track on that album is The Heart of Rock and Roll with the Heartbeat. And you're going to get a huge kick out of this because when I was 4 and that song came on, for some reason, I thought I could break dance. And that was the thing that I did to, like, show people. Like, I had this mental image in my head of, like, my grandparents who came from where I am now to where we were. Like, they drove 500 miles. They walked into my house. I'm laying on the floor, and I'm like, I want to show them what I can do. And my parents give me this eye roll. And, like, the music starts, and I think I'm just going. And I'm this 4-year-old kid just, like, rolling around on the floor. But I think I got skills, and it's all about the hard rock and roll. And, like, I went back and listened to that record this week. And, man, that's a good record.
That is a good record.
It's still a good record. Yeah. Yeah. And it's probably not on your list of records that you make your kids listen to. But as far as, like, rock and roll records, like, they don't make a lot of rock and roll records like that anymore.
No. It's a good album. I don't make my students listen to it, but I have it on vinyl. It's sitting in my collection.
Do you?
So it's a good record. See,
we gotta have to pull that out. That's awesome. We gonna have to pull that out when I'm there because that's a great record.
It's a great record. Yes. So.
And
way to go, old man music.
Yeah, so that might be a thing. we might have to turn that into a thing.
A standing
the old
segment.
Man, the old man album of the week.
Yes.
Because it's because I'm enjoying it. I don't know if you're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it.
I get a kick out of it. So.
All right, fair enough. Let's go to some news.
Let's talk about video games a little bit. Before we jump into news, big thanks to Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Zeke, and Chad, who upped his donation. Way to go, Chad. He now, like, is legit. I'm so proud of him.
Like, we were doing Chad a favor, letting Chad on the round table because Chad's done a lot, but he's giving us like $10, and we were like, okay, yeah, dude, whatever. You could be on the round table. Now he's legit on the round table.
Now he's legit on the round
table. And all I can say is, it's about freaking time, man. You got like 15 You got 15 switches in your house. Yeah, I don't know how many TVs you got. It's about freaking time we got some legit money, for crying out loud.
I like the fact that we give him such a hard time of just throwing cash around that he just decided to throw some cash around towards us. I think that was a good strategy. I think it worked out.
Yeah, it worked out really well. Like, that's guilt at its best, yes. Right there.
So
absolutely.
Way to go, us. So thank you, Chad, and everybody else for contributing. If you would like to support us on Patreon, we would love for you to do that. We will buy video games and talk about them. You can do that at gamingunsensored.com. Over on the right-hand side, right there near the top, there's a Become a Patron button. Click on that. Give us some money. Come hang out with us on the roundtable. That's a fun time, which we're going to do soon, I promise. We're so far behind on this stupid thing. We've got a roundtable coming up, so that'll be fun. So. All that said, we don't have any huge news this week, but we got some interesting discussion topics, and so let's get into some news. We're going to start with this Lord of the Rings thing. Not because it's necessarily big news, because I don't think it probably is going to be, but I just really want to have a discussion about Lord of the Rings games, and so this was a good way to have that. So, the bit of news, and we'll tie this in, is that there's a Lord of the Rings MMO in the works. It's being done by Athlon Games, which is under the parent company that did Warframe and The Darkness 2 and some other stuff. And so, not massive, but not nobody. Kind of, you know, established there.
Warframe just came out on something else.
I know.
Like that. And somebody was telling me that it's a completely different game now than when we saw it 3 years ago at E3.
I'm sure. And it's still free to play, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Which, by the way, this Lord of the Rings game apparently is also going to be free to play. So that's cool. So it's a Lord of the Rings MMO. No other real details other than that it's being developed and this is the company that is working on it, and so that's a bit of news. What I kind of want to bring this into bigger discussion wise, because this is something from my childhood I've always wanted, and that's a really good Lord of the Rings RPG, and to my knowledge it doesn't really exist. The Shadow Mortal, of War,
Mortal
Shadow of Mordor
does not
games
count.
Do what?
It doesn't. They do not count.
Right. They're good games. They're not RPGs. They have RPG elements to it, but they're very much the kind of hack and slash or whatever. Super fun. And the best Lord of the Rings games I can think of, or at least Shadow of War. I haven't played Shadow of Mordor, whichever way it is. I get them confused. Whichever one was first. I played the first one. I haven't played the second one. Supposedly the second one's good too. They're fun, but they're not what I think a Lord of the Rings game should be. And to be fair, like, it's a big task because it's such a beloved universe, and it seems like you could just screw it up mostly. But it also seems so ripe for the picking. I remember when I was, I don't know, in junior high or something, like looking for a Lord of the Rings game back then. And I found this really, really terrible Lord of the Rings game that was on PC. I couldn't figure the thing out. I didn't know what I was doing in it. But I wanted to like it so bad because it was Lord of the Rings. So, all that said, what would it take to pull off a good Lord of the Rings RPG?
You know what? I don't know, because I don't know how you level up a hobbit. Like, like how do you freaking level up a hobbit? Like, you have your crew, you have Legolas, you have all of those people, and how do you make them work cohesively as a party? Yes, it works in a book. Yes, it works in a movie. But how do you make that work in an RPG where you got to worry about grinding, where you got to worry about items, where you got to worry about leveling? How do you do that? And the answer is, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to know what you think on this, because I don't know that it's about the universe. I think it's more about the way that the story is set up. It's not real conducive to an RPG type deal.
So I think that's the crux of it, and I would actually maybe say that in reverse. I think one of the things that the Shadow of games do well, Shadow of War, Shadow of Mordor do well, is that they don't try to be part of the Lord of the Rings story necessarily. Like, it exists in that universe, and you're hunting orcs, and like, it's relatable in the Lord of the Rings. Well, and it has the lore and all that kind of stuff to it. But like, Frodo's not popping up every 20 minutes in the game to like give you a quest or whatever, you know? And I think ultimately that's the key of it. By the way, there already is. I was just Googling. And I'm sure we talked about this on the show at some point because this came out since we've been doing the show. There is a Lord of the Rings online game that came out like 10 years ago that I just, for the life of me, don't even recall. And so I'm looking at its webpage right now going, oh, wow, there is something that exists. And apparently you can still sign up for it. The YouTube video looks terrible. But it is 10 years old, so whatever. I think it could be good, and this is like I'm always hopeful with the idea of a Lord of the Rings game. I think it could be good because it's such a good world for role play. I just would love to see it be a standalone, not an MMO, because for me, for Lord of the Rings, the story, even if it's not canon, even if it's not part of Tolkien's story, like, that has to be a part of it, and that's just so hard to pull off in an MMO.
Well, you know what you want? I just realized what you want. I don't even know if you realize it. You want The Witcher in a Lord of the Rings universe. That's what you want.
Yeah, yes and no. The one thing I don't want it to be is The Witcher in its maturity. Like,
no, I mean, but
you, or Dragon
what
Age.
What I mean is,
or you know, even like an Elder Scrolls ish thing, like Skyrim ish, could work well with Lord of the Rings lore, like in that world and in that kind of stuff. And I like the fun part of an MMO is that you can choose, and this is where now my head's on Skyrim, and so this could work with a standalone as well, but you could choose to play like as a hobbit, or you could choose to play as an elf and have those like different abilities and different class options and all that kind of stuff, depending on which race you choose to play as. And like, put Lord of the Rings lore with like a D&D, you know, RPG system, and like, this is what I'm caught up on. It's like, it really in my head seems easy to do. Like, it's a world that already exists that there's tons and tons of lore on, and so you can go back and get all the good juicy bits that fans are gonna love, and then you just have to tell a RPG story, make it interesting. I know that's the hardest part, obviously, but there's tons of RPGs that exist that have had good stories that don't have nearly the background, the back catalog of stuff available that Lord of the Rings does. It just blows my mind that nobody's done it well yet.
The reason why nobody's done it well is because you don't want to be the company that screws that up. Like, you don't want to be, it's kind of like Superman. We've never had a good Superman game because, like, two people have tried it, and both of them sucked. And everybody looks at it and goes, that's Superman. I'm not touching that. I don't want to screw up Superman. Because they look at what Hollywood has done with Superman, which is really screw up Superman. And they're like, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm waiting for somebody like Kevin Smith to come along and be like, I'm going to do a good Superman game. Like, a comic book guy that really knows his stuff. I think part of the reason people don't want to touch it is that it is such a well-known universe. And I think Lord of the Rings is the same way. Like, the last couple of Superman movies, and I'm probably going to yell that here by Chad, who has a movie and games podcast, and which we don't talk about a lot, and he yells at me for not talking about, but go check that out. Popcorn and Games, they're good. They're not better than us, but they're good. And it's like, I just feel like that people just really don't want to screw it up.
Yeah.
And that's why it doesn't get done, because like, everybody knows Superman 64 and that it was really bad, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was bad. And nobody wants to be the next people that try. Now, the first company that pulls it off, and I think about Rocksteady with Batman, like, they'll be set for life. But it's so hard with either one of these, whether it be Superman or Lord of the Rings, it's so hard to figure out how to get it right.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that's it. That's a huge part of it. And because the fan base is so rabid, that if you do screw it up, you're going to hear about it. Now, to be fair, we've screwed it up a bunch of times. It's not like there's a shortage of Lord of the Rings games. There's a bunch of them. There just aren't any. Again, somebody's going to like take issue with this and say, oh, this Lord of the Rings game was actually really good. I was just looking. There was a Lord of the Rings Tactics on PSP, and that actually sounds kind of interesting to me. But there's probably one in there that's got this kind of cult following that we don't even realize. But to me, it really is just the recent ones that have been fairly solid. And then outside of that, it's been a kind of a bunch of blah kind of stuff that fits with kind of licensed games. There was video games that came out for every single one of the movies, and I never played a single one of them, and I'm sure they were bad. You know, like, I if they were good, I think I would have known, and I think I would have played them, and I didn't. You know, there's a couple of Lego Lord of the Rings and Lego The Hobbit, and cool, but that's not what I'm looking for either. Just,
well, and you know what the other thing is? Like, everybody knows what the story is. Like, everybody knows and loves those movies. So if you're in a game, you know what the beginning, the middle, and the end of the story is. And it's just a question of, do you want to play through that?
Right.
And if you are a developer, how do you make that interesting for 40 hours?
Right. And that's the thing. I think in order to make this work, I think of it like, this needs the Knights of the Old Republic treatment. You know, that it's in that world, that it exists in a familiar space, but it's a completely new story that's, you know, in line with what exists already, but not the story that we know. I think could work well with Lord of the Rings.
Knights is a great example, but I'm glad that you brought that up, because we got two Knights games that we love, and now we're sitting around going,
no, for the life of me,
where's Knights 3?
Like, that's the truth.
Can we get that, please? And the reason they don't do it is because you can only go to that well so many times and get away with it. And I think they're making money on the online stuff, which that may be what the Lord of the Rings people are looking at and going, okay, we can make it an MMO because Knights is an MMO and it's working out pretty well. I mean, they're not Warcraft, but it's working. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
I hear what you're saying for sure. It just bums me out. By the way, I'm just like looking up random Lord of the Rings game facts now. There was a game that was called Lord of the Rings: The White Council that was being developed by EA back in 2007. That was going to be like an open world fantasy RPG, and they canceled it. I don't remember that game. Again, we were doing this show at that point. Like, we've been doing the show for a long time. I don't remember that game at all. But like, that sounds like it could have been cool, you know, and just didn't materialize. So
I'm sure we talked about it, but we're old and we don't have the memories that we used to have. That is
very, very true. I'm going to jump ahead in the news here a little bit because we mentioned a couple of things with that story that relate to the Witcher 3 or the Witcher TV show, which we talked about the Witcher a little bit there, but we also talked about Superman, which, believe it or not, is incredibly relevant because Henry Cavill has been cast as Geralt in the Witcher series, and I love it.
That's just weird.
He's going to go from Superman to Geralt.
Like, that's just odd. Like, can he even do the hair?
I don't know. That's going to be the weirdest part. Like, the white hair and the beard and everything. Like, that's going to be strange. But like, dude's British, and so that I love. You know, like I'm right. pumped for him to be able to be like British Geralt. I hope that they make him British Geralt. You know, but the accent, I always think, like Lord of the Rings and everything else, benefits from the sophistication of the British accent. So I'm excited about British Geralt Henry Cavill. I think it's a great fit. I really dig it.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm less worried because it's Netflix, and for the most part, they know how to do this. Of course, I'm the one guy on the planet that has, like, every Netflix series on Earth to watch. Like, I haven't gotten around to it. Like, every time that I turn on Netflix, there's, like, 8 more.
Yep.
And I don't know how you people watch all those. But at some point I'm gonna like be bedridden and that's all I'm gonna have to do. So that will be the point that I catch up.
Yes. That's fair. I'm way behind now. I used to be pretty good about it. Then I had a kid and that all changed. The showrunner, I believe, for the Witcher series is the same showrunner that did Daredevil. If somebody from Daredevil is doing something with
I
Witcher.
Love me some Daredevil.
I do so, too. And I really yeah. loved how Netflix handled Daredevil. And so that makes me excited about it too. I'm pretty pumped about The Witcher on Netflix. I hope they don't screw it up. They could definitely screw it up. But I'm hopeful that it's going to be pretty good. So moving on to some other things, I've got to mention Humble Bundle Monthly here. We talked about PlayStation Plus last week and how we just love the games that they have on that. Well, here's another one. So Humble Bundle Monthly is like $12 a month. And thank you guys, Patreon. You pay for us to have Humble Bundle Monthly. And we appreciate
they do. Oh, yeah, we did that one. I gotta log into that
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, because it's good stuff. And so the announcement for October. So what they do is like halfway through the prior month, they will announce like the big game that they're releasing for the coming month and will let you like pay early, and so you can go ahead and like pay your $12 for next month and get access to that game early, and then they have like 9 or 10 more games or whatever that come out the end of the month. And so last month it was pretty solid. Like they had you could either do Sniper Elite 4 and Darksiders 2 and something else, or you could do the Tomb Raider game, that not the one that's just come out, but they're just coming out, but the previous one, Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I get them confused.
What did we do? Because if,
well, I haven't chosen yet, and so we okay. need to pick one, because we got to pick one of those. Either way is cool, but I imagine we'll go Tomb Raider. That would be my yeah. guess on that one. But for October, Overwatch is the game, which kind of blew my mind, because it's Blizzard, and I just like that. Just doesn't seem Blizzardy.
Here's the thing: Blizzard does not give crap away.
No,
like they don't really do that. So wow,
yeah, that's what I thought. And Overwatch is a game that I've wanted to play for a while, but I'm afraid I'm going to hate it. Like, I mean, honestly, like it's online multiplayer thing, and it's just, you know, like as much as. As good as I've heard it, and like Cabbage was all about it, and like just talking about how fun it is, and even trying to sell me on like it's not horrible like a lot of other online competitive games are. I just haven't ever been able to pull the trigger on actually paying for the thing, and so now I'm already paying for the thing. Cool, we get to play Overwatch, and I'm really pumped about that. So. That's a cool thing, and again, just kind of blew my mind on Humble Bundle that it's just part of their monthly subscription, and you'll get 9 more games at the beginning of October.
That's just mind bending.
It is
like, and we talk about it. It seems like we talk about it every week. I know we talked about it last week because of my old access rant. But holy cow, there's so many games.
Yeah.
There's just so many games. And I'm getting to the point where I don't even know where to start. Like, the whole idea of me recording myself playing video games and trying to edit and put it up on Patreon, like, It's stupid. I really need to just move somewhere where I have decent internet and can just stream 24/7 because I'm getting to the point where I'm recording all this stuff, but I don't want to edit. I don't want to edit. I don't want to put it up. Like, I don't have time to do that. I would rather spend my time playing games. But there is so much stuff that whenever I come to your house, like if the little girl gets the age where she does those like weekend sleepovers, and you like she's like gone for like 3 days, I know what's gonna happen. You and I are gonna lock ourselves in a room, and we're just gonna play games for 3 days straight. And at that point, you just need to be streaming all the time because it's the only way you're going to ever get through all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's all good stuff. Like, it's all good quality. Not all of it, but you know what I mean. Like, 85% of it's really good.
Yeah.
And there's just no time.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean. So... But there's more stuff, so more games to not play. Life is great.
Yeah.
So cheerful. I'm glad people still listen to the show. We are downers, man. Like such old curmudgeons.
Okay, here's the thing, and I have to say this because Chad gives us crap about the games that we don't play, and he makes time because he doesn't leave his house or whatever. But he made a comment on Facebook that made me laugh out loud because he gets the payback, Chad. And I'm glad that he was brave enough to post this on Facebook. But he posted the fact that he actually fell asleep while playing a video game the other day. And I'm like, yeah, that's a little payback for you, buddy. Welcome to real life. Thank you very much.
God bless you, Chad. I've been there. I fell asleep playing a game recently. Mario Tennis on my lap. Oh, crap. I just lost. Dang it. So, I understand.
Yep.
Good times. Speaking of Nintendo, I didn't even intend that, but that worked out well. So we talked about Nintendo a while back. About them bringing cloud saves to the Switch, which seems like a really good idea. There's cloud saves everywhere. Turns out it's not going to work for every game. That's a bummer. So here's the official statement from Nintendo about this. Quote, the vast majority of Switch games will support save data cloud backup. However, in certain games, this feature would make it impossible to, for example, regain items that had been traded to other players or revert to a higher online multiplayer ranking that had been lost. To ensure fair play, save data cloud backup may not be enabled for such games. To ensure that save data cloud backups cannot be used to unfairly affect online multiplayer rankings, the feature will not be enabled in Splatoon 2, which is kind of a big Nintendo game. Also not going to be a part of Dark Souls or, and this is the one that's kind of most mind-boggling to me, Pokemon. Those are kind of like the bread and butter Nintendo games. Dark Souls maybe not as much as the other two, but just to like have a feature that is great and kind of a big deal, you know, like I like just maybe not even a big deal is the way to say it. An expected deal in 2018, like cloud saves are kind of everywhere. And I don't quite understand how you can't make it work. Like, why?
Okay. Let me explain to you why it doesn't work. And there's one reason for this. Are you ready? It's so Nintendo.
It is so like, Nintendo.
This is what Nintendo does. They're like, we got this really cool thing, but it only works for certain things.
Right.
And like, this is why it's 2018 and they've never really had a really good online service because they're quirky. And they do stuff like this. And you know what? They're like that guy in your high school that just doesn't give a crap. Like, he's just going to do whatever it is that he wants to do, and he doesn't give a crap what you think. That's Nintendo.
Yeah.
They don't care.
And it's not like it can't be done, because several of the games, specifically Dark Souls, FIFA 19, NBA 2K19, that Nintendo has announced the cloud saves won't work for, have cloud saves on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. Like, they work on the other platforms. So it's not like there's just this like technological barrier that can't be overcome. Like, it's just Nintendo. Like how are they this far behind always on this online tech?
And they're like,
it just boggles my mind.
Here's the thing. It's not the online tech. It's that they're valuing the online rankings more than they are the people playing their game. Like, oh, yeah, we don't want to mess up your
But I don't buy that, because I don't think of the Switch as being the place where, like, super competitive people are going, other than for something like Splatoon that's first party. But, like, FIFA 19, like, it's not Nintendo valuing the online ranking aspect of it more, because competitive people aren't playing FIFA 19 on the Switch, you know, like, they're playing it on PlayStation or Xbox. Those are much more competitive consoles. It's just like them not wanting to do the work to make it work. You know, like, it's going to take a little extra effort to make those games compatible. But it's not undoable. Obviously, Sony and Microsoft both do it. And so Nintendo could do it. And so, like, again, for us, it probably doesn't matter. But if, like, because it's a portable device, if, like, you left it sitting on a bus or a train or whatever, or somebody snatched it from your bag, and you, like, are like, well, that sucks.
Or if you're like Chad, you got 18 of them and you started something on one of them.
Right.
And then your kid took it, so you picked up the other one to keep playing. Now you can't, because they're not cross save available.
And it's such a basic thing.
That will only happen with Chad, because he's the only person I know who's got enough Switches for his whole freaking neighborhood.
Right.
But
he wouldn't even know, like, if one went missing. He wouldn't notice
for a month. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Like, how pissed would you be? Not only have you now lost your Switch, but the games that you put a lot of time into, like, you also have lost all that, because the only place that data exists is on your hard drive on your Switch. And just, yeah. I love Nintendo. I love the Switch. It's a great console. And again, to be fair, most of the games have cloud saves. It's a handful that don't. But if you're one of the people who plays one of those handful of games, like, that kind of sucks. Just sucks. Come on,
it
Nintendo.
Does.
Do better.
And like I said, the thing that's crazy is, you know, you can talk about consumer outrage or whatever. Nintendo does not care.
They don't.
They're like, we're just going to do what it is that we do, and, like, if it affects you negatively, sorry.
Right. People, like, are going to buy it, and we do, so joke's on us, you know? Like, honestly. And it's not that big of a deal. It's just so Nintendo. You hit the nail on the head. Like, just, like, I was about to say, I couldn't imagine reading that about the other companies. I could. It's also so Sony. Sony does stupid stuff like that all the time. Microsoft, to their credit, does fewer stupid things, I feel like, than Sony or Nintendo do. They just don't have as good of games. So, like, we're ultimately still going to the place where we like the games more. But Sony and Nintendo both just do stupid stuff sometimes. I just can't wrap my head around it, so.
Yeah, I mean, they really are. They're just strange. They're just awkward.
In a similar vein, let's talk about Steam for a little bit. A platform that we generally really like and thinks does fewer stupid things. And I feel like this kind of falls into that category of them trying to figure out this kind of how they, as a kind of curating games platform, can best match games to users. And so we talked about recently, one of the things that Steam has done recently is they've removed several restrictions on content, specifically with sex and violence. And so game developers can get away with a lot more nudity, a lot more grotesque violence, I guess, that Steam at one point was policing against more heavily. But obviously that comes with a downside, and that like suddenly there's all this stuff that you may not be interested in seeing. And so now Steam's trying to put in place some essentially filters that you can choose to say you don't want to see games that contain certain types of content. So you can choose not to see games that have excessive gore, excessive sexual content, or whatever. And whenever like you were to click on one of those games, it would pop up with just basically like an age gate, but just saying, hey, you chose not to see this content. Go ahead and continue on to the page if you want, but here's a warning that it does have this stuff. And so the one they give an example for is Left 4 Dead 2. And it says, this game contains content that you've asked not to see, frequent violence and gore. Quote, Left 4 Dead 2 features intense violence, blood and gore, including decapitation or dismemberment of zombie-like creatures, and some strong language. My immediate reaction to that was, oh my goodness, I want to go play Left 4 Dead 2 now, because decapitation or dismemberment of zombie-like creatures sounds incredibly fun to me. So, but to Steam's credit, kudos for at least trying to figure out a system that, again, the whole purpose is having it really curated for the end user on what they want to play.
And look, we're Steam fanboys, we're Valve fanboys. We just are, but the reason that we are is because I mentioned it at the beginning of the show. It took me 2 minutes to buy a game, download a game, install a game, and have it running before the show started. 2 minutes.
Yeah.
That's all it took. And I have crappy internet. Like, it is so easy, it is so well put together. A deal like this sort of, and it will change as the little girl gets older. Like, I hear you talking about this, and I'm like, why do we need that?
Sure.
We're smart enough to know what we don't want to see. But dude, when she's on Steam and she's looking at stuff, you're the dad? And I'm just the weird uncle that's randomly going to show up. But I can already tell you that you and me are going to have some discussions about some stuff. Like, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? She called me and she said she wants to play this. What do we do?
Right.
That's going to be a thing. Because it's the thing with Avery. I've got a freaking teenager in my house occasionally. And I bought Slime Ranchers over the summer, and the game before that she wanted was a game called Dude Stop. And I watched the trailer, and I don't know what it was, whether it was language or the way that they went about it, because it was like Stanley Parable-ish. And I watched the trailer and I was like, nah, let's not do that. Because I knew if I did that, her mother was going to be calling me.
Yeah.
And it, like, I'm smart enough to know what she doesn't need to be playing. I feel like you as a dad are too, but this is going to be helpful for parents that aren't us.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
For sure. It remains the best platform out there to buy a game on any console or platform, like consoles or PC. Like, nothing beats Steam, in my opinion. It's so easy and it's so personalized. Like, I have not put much work into Steam of telling it, you know, like, these are the games I like or whatever. It just, like, oh, this is what you've bought, this is what you've played, here are some other games you'd probably be into. And, like, it's really good about showing me other games that, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, that looks like something that's cool, you know, and I find games that way just on the front page of the store and that scroll across the top. And then it's like two clicks and I've got the game installing and then I'm running it, and it just... We talked about before with piracy, like, the biggest thing you could do to help prevent piracy is make access to games easy. And Steam has done that and just revolutionized the way that you get PC games. I'm sure you can go buy physical copies of games still. I don't know. I've not done it in the better part of 10 years or something at this point. You know, like, it's been a long time. I think I got Civ 4 as a physical game, or maybe Civ 5 as like on a disc. I can't tell you the last time I got one before that.
I have hard copies of games sitting on my shelf, and they're the reason they're sitting on my shelf is they're all the games that every gamer should have hard copies of in their library. And just to name a few, we've got Half-Life, we've got Mass Effect, we've got, you know, some of those that are, like, to me, it's like I look up there and it's like somebody that has a really nice book library. I'm like, yeah, you need hard copies of these. I don't know why. Like, I could just go find the box somewhere and just stack it up and right. go, yeah, I'm a hardcore gamer, but I look at those and I'm proud that I have hard copies of those. Otherwise, there's absolutely no reason to care.
But honestly, too, if you wanted to play one of those games and you didn't already have it in your library, like if you wanted to play Half-Life, you'd just go pick it up on Steam as opposed yes. to getting the yes. it's $10 on Steam as opposed to getting the like box down. It's like the convenience of just downloading, it's way easier. Yeah, it's crazy. So a couple of quick things to wrap up. Go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com. A few things we didn't get to, but really quick, I want to get a couple of board game bits of news in here because we don't talk about board games enough, and so this will be fun. First of all, you know, Fortnite has made it big because there's officially Fortnite Monopoly now. Kid you not. There is a Fortnite Monopoly.
you heard that right.
That was clear.
That was my old man coming out because it just like while you were saying that, I just felt like Walter Matthau right there. That is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Dumbest thing I've ever heard. So all you millennials out there, I played Fortnite for 2 minutes trying to get it running for a kid on a laptop in the shop. And, dude, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand. Like, it's PUBG for 10-year-olds.
Yeah.
Like, I probably just insulted half our audience.
you probably did. Because it's a massive deal. It's crazy. Just mind-boggling. So, that's one bit of board game news. The other one I'm much more interested in, there's a Horizon Zero Dawn board game, and that looks kind of cool.
Let's have that!
With, like, figures and everything. It was crowdfunded, made its campaign, and now is going to be produced and sold, and that's awesome. And so, pretty pumped about that. Looks very, very cool. If you are bored, go by the show notes, gaminguncensored.com. In the link on this story from Polygon, there is a 50-minute playthrough of a Horizon Zero Dawn board game. So, knock yourself out there. Also,
can I just say we'll be buying that?
Yeah, it looks cool. It's also going to be pricey because it's like massive, but it looks cool. So, and then quickly, releases for the week. There's one that matters more than all others, but there are a few others. So I'll mention the few others. Shadow of the Tomb Raider. I mentioned that one. So it is here as of 2 days from now. It's coming out on Wednesday, apparently. Let me see other important ones before we get to NBA Live 19. Destiny 2 Forsaken is officially out. I think we might have skipped over that one last week. Yep, those are the big ones. Other than Spider-Man is officially here. The Spider-Man game on the PlayStation 4 is out. People are playing it, and I've got to finish God of War so we can get to it. That may be road trip game because I'm already jonesing for it. Has an 87 on Metacritic, which is solid, and people that I've heard that are playing it really, really like it, and so I think we're going to dig it.
Oh, that's definitely gonna be. I that needs to go on YouTube if you get it before I get there. But that's gonna be the one that I feel like that the little girl needs to be like 2 months older, because what I want to do is I want to put her in her little chair because she can sit now.
Right.
And I want her to sit next to me and you to sit on the other side of me. and I just want to watch with amazement as Spider-Man rolls.
Yes.
Like, that's what I want to do. And I realize we still have screen issues with the little girl. I get it. But seriously, we're getting to the point where we got to get that girl in front of a video game. It's freaking me out. It's driving me crazy. We got to get her started.
Yes. Agreed. And that would be a good one to start on. So probably won't happen with her, but it will happen with us. We're going to play that game. And so pretty pumped about that. I'm hoping that one of the guys on the round table is playing it so we can talk about it some on the round table.
Chad!
Yeah, I imagine that this one Chad had pretty high on his list. So,
well, he bought the PS4, the freaking Spider-Man PS4.
Or three of them at this point, probably. He just has one in each room so he can jump between them. So. So we'll be talking about that more soon, and I'm pretty pumped about that. So go by the website gaminguncensored.com, see what we missed over there.
And like I said, I did finish the first episode of Life is Strange, so if I can force myself to splice that together, that will be going up on Patreon, I hope before Friday. Don't quote me on that. It may take longer, but it will be there shortly, because believe it or not, we're still trying.
Yes.
It may not sound like it, it may not look like it, but we're still trying.
We've been good about the every week thing. I'm proud of us on that.
Yes. And it's amazing that we managed to do that and everything else has gone out the window.
Yes.
Like, it's like, we're not getting anything else done, but my gosh, we're getting a show done.
We're getting a show done.
It's a lot of fun. I love doing it. And I am amazed every week that somebody hasn't, like, died of a heart attack. Which, by the way, can I just mention that Burt Reynolds died this week? Like, that's kind of weird.
I didn't realize he was as old as he was. He was 82, so he had a good run. That's pretty impressive.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. You see that, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
When Burt Reynolds is no longer around, you know you're getting old.
Yeah.
So there's that. But as I said, we got lots of good stuff coming up. We have the road trip coming up. Don't know exactly when yet, but that's when all the good Patreon content is going to hit. You know you're going to get us on video. That's when we like to do that stuff. We may not do anything else for 6 months, but when we get in the same room, all bets are off.
Yep.
So get ready for that, because it will be happening very, very shortly. There might be a Halloween Patreon video. There might be a Thanksgiving Patreon video. I don't know if we can get pilgrim hats, but that might be interesting. So keep it locked in for that, because it is coming. Believe it or not, those of you that are paying, we are thankful. We are glad. We are spending your money, and we will take care of you eventually. We promise.
Yes.
All that being said, we do have the Facebook page. We do have the website. Go by and check all of that out. We did not play a segment this week, but I noticed we have like four in the email.
We have two. We have one that's calling back the voicemail line several times. And so we will have a segment on the next show for sure.
Well, I'm glad to know that somebody tried.
Yes. Me too.
Like, I'm glad to know that we have somebody that had something to say enough that they're like, I'm calling back. That's awesome. So I'm looking forward to that. You can send us a segment via the email at gaminguncensored@gmail.com or the voicemail line at
509-GAME-210.
And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Gaming Uncensored for another week. I'm Jamie, that's Tommy. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, then. For one more week, we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.